So we've been talking about various meeting points in Jesus' life with people, and also thinking through that of our meeting with him also. John's Gospel and chapter 9, Jesus meets with a man who is blind. Indeed, he was born blind. As he went on his way, Jesus saw a man blind from his birth. His disciples put the question, "Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents? Why was he born blind?" "It is not that this man or his parents sinned," Jesus answered. "He was born blind so that God's power might be displayed in curing him. While daylight lasts, we must carry on the work of him who sent me. Night comes when no one can work. While I am in the world, I am the light of the world." With these words, he spat on the ground and made a paste with the spittle. He spread it on the man's eyes and he said to him, "Go and wash in the pool of Siloam." The name means sent. The man went away and he washed. And when he returned, he could see. His neighbors and those who were accustomed to see him begging said, "Isn't this the man who used to sit and beg?" Others said, "Yeah, this is the man." But other ones said, "Nah, it must be someone like him." The man himself said, "I am the man." They asked him, "How were your eyes opened?" He replied, "The man called Jesus made a paste and smeared my eyes with it, and he told me to go to Siloam and wash. And I went and washed, and I gained my sight." "Where is he?" they asked. He answered, "I don't know." The man who had been blind was brought before the Pharisees. As it was a Sabbath day when Jesus made the paste and opened his eyes, the Pharisees now asked him by what means he had gained his sight. The man told them, "He spread a paste on my eyes, then I washed, and now I can see." Some of the Pharisees said, "This fellow's no man of God. He does not keep the Sabbath." Others said, "How could such signs come from a sinful man?" So they took different sides. Then they continued to question him, "What have you to say about him? It was your eyes he opened." He answered, "He is a prophet." The Jews would not believe that the man who had been blind had gained his sight until they had summoned his parents and questioned them, "Is this man your son? Do you say that he was born blind? How is it that he can now see?" The parents replied, "We know that he's our son and that he was born blind, but how he can now see or who opened his eyes, we don't know. Ask him. He's of age. He'll speak for himself." His parents gave the answer because they were afraid of the Jews, for the Jewish authorities had already agreed that anyone who acknowledged Jesus as Messiah should be banned from the synagogue. That is why the parents said, "He's of age, ask him." So for the second time they summoned the man who'd been blind and they said, "Speak the truth before God. We know that this fellow's a sinner." "Whether he's a sinner or not, I don't know," the man replied. "All I know is once I was blind and now I can see." "What did he do to you?" they asked. "How did he open your eyes?" "I've told you already," he retorted, "but you took no notice. Why do you want to hear it again? Do you also want to become one of his disciples?" Then they became abusive. "You are that man's disciple," they said, "but we're disciples of Moses. We know that God spoke to Moses, but as for this fellow, we don't know where he comes from." The man replied, "What an extraordinary thing. Here's a man who's opened my eyes, and you don't know where he comes from. It's common knowledge that God does not listen to sinners. He listens to anyone who is devout and obeys his will. To open the eyes of a man born blind, it's unheard of since time began. If that man had not come from God, he could have done nothing." "Who are you to give us lessons?" they retorted. "Born and bred in sin as you are." Then they expelled him from the synagogue. Jesus heard that they had expelled him. When he found him, he asked, "Have you faith in the Son of Man?" The man answered, "Tell me who he is, sir, that I should put my faith in him."
You have seen him, said Jesus. Indeed, it is he who is speaking to you. Lord, I believe, he said, and bowed before him. Jesus said, It is for judgment that I have come into this world, to give sight to the sightless, and to make blind those who claim they can see. Some Pharisees in his company asked, Do you mean that we are blind? If you were blind, said Jesus, you would not be guilty. But it is because you say we can see that your guilt remains. For judgment I came into this world, for those who do not see to be able to see, and for those who claim to see, for them to become blind. This is a rather chilling statement from Jesus, but it spells out clearly what the last four reflections which we've shared together about people whose paths have met with Jesus is all about. When we are confronted with Christ, we are confronted with God, but we are confronted with God in disguise, so that we don't react to him externally, as in the words of the wicked servant, I knew you were a harsh man, reaping what you've not sown, and therefore bow to his fame, celebrity, and power. For this wouldn't be real believing, it would be mere expediency to fawn upon him in order that we might survive. The disposition of our hearts and the attitude we have to life could be the very opposite of the powerful God we knuckle under to and pay lip service to. But no, disguise means he may be in our power so that it will draw out from us real inner actual nature. It's a watershed. According to our reaction, it either makes us more whole or judges and condemns us. For judgment I came into this world, for those who do not see to be able to see, and for those who claim they can to become blind. My old mentor, with whom I spent a lot of my childhood, 8-year-old Rebecca Broomhead, I can see her now cradling herself and rocking away in her rocking chair in front of the fire and dropping another word of wisdom into my bosom. There's none so blind, lad, as those who won't see. So we find Jesus deliberately making a beeline to the blind man in the gospel. John's already told us in his gospel at the beginning, the Logos was with God and was God. This Logos was in the beginning with God. All things came into being through him, and without the Logos, not a single thing came into being. He was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. The real light is that which lights every man as it comes into the world. So Jesus goes straight to the man born blind at birth and completes the work of creation in him by restoring his sight. This is the work of the Logos of God. But we, like Jesus and his disciples, must do God's work. But we can only see what that is during the day. That is, by the light of Christ. This evolves the crux of this work of God. Is it seen by the light of Christ or by the darkness of men's evil attitudes? For judgment I came into this world, for those who do not see to be able to see, and for those who claim to be able to see, to become blind. The man born blind is referred to, first of all, by the Greek word blempo. That means literally unable to see, literal seeing. And the man born blind whose eyes have been opened, literally, blempo, now progressively as more and more of God and truth revealed to him because he's open to, and the Greek word now changes to oreo, metaphorically seeing. A series of questions
develops this metaphorical seeing. The man born blind is led to confess, first of all, verse 11, when he's asked about him, the man called Jesus. Then in verse 17, this is jacked up to, he is a prophet. By verse 33, the man's saying, if this man were not from God, he couldn't do anything. And then it culminates in the final exchange. Jesus said to the man born blind, do you believe in the Son of Man? He answered, who prays he, sir, for me to believe in him? Jesus said to him, you have indeed seen him, and it is he that's speaking to you. And he said, I do believe, Lord. And he worshipped him. And note Jesus' introduction of the title Son of Man, a title linked through Daniel to Judgment Day, when the Son of Man will return in his glory, that is, not in disguise, together with the holy angels. For judgment I came into the world, for those who do not see to be able to see, and for those who claim they can see, for them to become blind. The man born blind has crossed paths with the Logos in Jesus, and confronted by this watershed experience, has found himself on the salvation side of that apex, on that side of the roof, whereas some of the Pharisees, and certainly those whom God calls the Jews, fall on the condemnation side of that apex. This is because in their need to justify themselves in the confrontation they have with Jesus' teaching and approach to faith, they place their pride and position before honest assessment of the facts and truth staring them in the face. You know, lad, there's none so blind as them that won't see. Or as John put it in his gospel, the Logos was in the world, and the world came into being through him, and the world did not know him. He came to his own, and his own did not accept him. But as many as did receive him, he gave them power to become children of God. Every day, we meet with the light of the world and simply don't see it. What is it in you and me, in disagreements we have with people, that stops us even seeing the good that they do? What is it that blinds us to anything that contradicts our assessment of the situation? Having cast the die, we seem to have to stick to it in a plethora of false pride, insecurity, and bitterness, throwing lots of clean babies out with the dirty bathwater. The more we do this, the darker it becomes, the less we see. Aye, lad, there's none so blind as them that won't see. For judgment I came into this world, so that those who cannot see may be given sight, and those who claim they can see everything, that they will be made blind.